Take your Bibles this evening. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul is speaking to the Corinthian believers in Corinth and speaks to them concerning the things offered to idols. And he says in verse number 13 of that chapter, "Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend." And then in chapter 9, he goes into the fact that he was an apostle of Christ, but yet he did not use his apostleship for his own purposes. But there were things that he withheld from himself, even though he rightly could have had them, for the sake of those that he was ministering to. And then he comes to chapter 10 and gives them another reason why they should not partake of this meat that is offered to idols. And he says in verse number 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come," or the end of the age is come. "Therefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say." You know, there may have been some in the church that thought that they could handle this association with idols, recognizing that really the food there is nothing. But yet, I think Paul here, the Word of God, gives them some warnings. You know, those people that maybe thought they could handle this, he says what? He comes to verse number 12, the high point here of his argument. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall." You know, we get to the point in our spiritual lives where we think we can handle weaknesses, or we think we can handle opportunities that may present something that would be an invitation for someone to possibly sin. We have come to a weak point in our Christian walk. In the first verse here, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant." We find here that spiritual ignorance is not bliss. You know, there's the old adage, ignorance is bliss. You know, if I know nothing about it, then I don't have to worry about any accountability for what I have not heard. You know, you can be driving down the road and you can be going 55 in a 25, and a policeman can pull you over, and you can say, well, I never saw the sign. You know, well, the policeman, I don't think, will probably take that as an excuse. I mean, maybe there's one out there that would. But, you know, ignorance, especially spiritual ignorance, is not bliss. And he says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. Paul is trying to instruct them here, and he's going to take something from the Old Testament so that they can be relieved of their spiritual ignorance that they were in, and thinking that they were okay when there were some warning signs that they needed to take heed to. You know, in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, a passage familiar to us, well, it should be familiar to you anyways now, after we preach through it. But Hosea 4, verse 6, what does it say? My people are what? Destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Folks, tonight, spiritual ignorance is not bliss. If there is something in the Word of God that we don't know, you know, for many of us, it's not because we don't know it, it's but because we do not follow it. But the fact is, we have available to us everything that pertains to life and to godliness. And we better make sure that it is a part of our lives. You know, it'd be like saying, I'm going to cross the street. You know, and you come up to the cross rock and you say, you know what? I am tired of this intersection being so busy. You know, this time I'm going to approach the crosswalk, I'm going to close my eyes, I'm going to plug my ears, I won't have to worry about hearing any cars, I won't have to worry about seeing any cars, and I can just cross the road and not have to wait. You know, because I won't know if there's any cars coming or not. It won't sound like it, it won't look like there's any cars coming. Well, we think, well, that's utterly ridiculous. You know, but how many times do we do that in our own Christian lives? We step out, we make a spiritual decision, we make a change of direction in our lives, but we don't first really consult what does God's Word say about what I am about to do. Tonight we need to understand spiritual ignorance is not bliss. But notice what it says here. It says, what was he did he not want them to be ignorant about? He says, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. Now he goes through some different instances, things that happened to all of the children of Israel. All right, these things did not just happen to a select few in the children of Israel, to the Jewish people. This happened to all of them. All right, all of them were under the cloud. They all had the presence of God leading them through the wilderness. You know, imagine that sight, the presence of God, His cloud there leading them. You know, as it rested over the tabernacle, as it moved at night, you know, seeing that pillar of fire. You know, imagine that if we were in the wilderness and that was their presence. You know, we would almost think to ourselves, boy, if I saw that manifestation, boy, I would surely stay close to God. You know, imagine if, you know, it says all passed through the sea. It says all, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. You know, when they crossed that sea, there was a what? I mean, they were basically declaring who they were a part of. You know, they were a part, they were on Moses. They were a part. He was their leader. And imagine the walls of that sea, you know, well, the walls, the sea parting. And creating those walls, and seeing the Egyptians conquered, and the impression that that would make on your life. We find here that divine favor and blessing does not guarantee success in our spiritual lives. You know, why is it that there can be so many people, they can be a part of a good church, they can be under good teaching, they can all hear the same message, but only some people respond? only some people make it. And here we find that all of them, they all partook of the Spirit, the blessing of receiving food from God in the wilderness, the manna. They all partook of the blessing of having the water come out of the rock. They all partook of the divine guidance of God in the wilderness. They had His presence with them. All of them had this blessing. They all partook of it. But in verse number 5, it says, "But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." You know, just because you're in a place of spiritual blessing, just because you may participate in the same circumstances, does not guarantee your spiritual success. You know, your family is not going to turn out right simply because you come to a good church. And here, the people needed to be warned. Here's the children of Israel. They partook of these different things. Here, the Corinthian church had partaken of different blessings. But was God going to be pleased with their lives? Well, with many of the children of Israel, they were overthrown in the wilderness, and God was not well pleased. In Nehemiah chapter 9, it gives us a little commentary on the children of Israel, or description. Notice what took place in their hearts. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 15. It says, "And gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger, and broughtest forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst," Nehemiah 9:15, "and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hast sworn to give them." All right, so God did all these things in the wilderness, and He showed the children of Israel that He was God. He showed them His power. He showed them His ability to provide. He showed them His ability to conquer their enemies. You know, Moses standing there with his hands raised, and God defeated the enemy. They, you know, the provision of man in the wilderness, the provision of water, the changing of the bitter water and making it able to be, for them to be able to drink it. All right, so all these things happened to them, and promised that they should go in to possess the land which thou hast sworn to give them. But they and our fathers dealt proudly, and hardened their necks, and hearkened not to thy commandments, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. And it says, "But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not." So we find that what was the problem? Well, the children of Israel hardened their necks. They forgot what God had done in their midst. You know, this today, when we forget what God has done, what He has rescued us from in our lives, we have fallen into a state of danger. If we are simply coasting because of the blessings that we have partaken of, we are going to falter. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, it says a similar thing. Deuteronomy 8, verses 14 and 15. It says, "Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that He might humble thee, and that He might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end, and thou say in thine heart, My power, and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. You know, we must be careful of coasting spiritually. You know, just because we have partaken of these blessings, we must respond correctly to them. We must humble ourselves and realize that our dependency must be on God at all times. You know, we begin to think that we can handle certain things, and our heart is lifted up, so to speak, in pride. You know, Proverbs 16 and verse number 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, in the Corinthian church, some of them in the church may have gotten to the point where thinking, you know, I can handle this. It's no big deal. You know, but just because they had partaken of that blessing, and just because they had been able to be in a church started even by the Apostle Paul, they must stay on their spiritual guard. We find also in this passage that divine warnings must be heeded if one is going to stay spiritually safe. Notice what it says in verse number 6. It says, now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So now he goes into a series of warnings. All right, that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. We find one warning here is to watch out for our desires. All right, they lusted after evil things as they also lusted. Notice verse number 8. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000. All right, Balaam came to the children of Israel, or King Balak came to Balaam and wanted him to curse the children of Israel. All right, and he tried. You know, God would not allow him to curse them. All right, but later he came back to Balak, and he showed Balak the way that he could destroy the children of Israel. And what was it? Well, it was through their sinful lusts. And he got them to, we can go to the passage in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 25. You know, there's different ways that Satan is going to attack us, and we need to be ready for the attacks. And here in Numbers chapter 25, Balaam advised Balak what to do. It says, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods, and Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people, and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judge of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined under Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And here in this place, this worship of this God, the sensuality that was involved, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them for what they had done, for the fornication that was going on in the worship of this God. And here in Corinthians, there's a warning. Watch out for fornication. You know, in the worship of many of these gods, you know, what was involved? Well, immorality. And they're being warned here, watch out for the sinful desires. How does Satan seek to tempt us? Well, it is through our desires. And we think we can get involved with things that maybe don't seem wrong, or technically maybe we can say they aren't wrong, but we need to watch out for the desires that Satan is going to seek to stir up within us to get us to go after something that is wrong. We need to watch out for wrong desires. But then he says we need to watch out for devotion, for wrong devotion. It says, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. What was one of the first things that took place in the, we find in the nation of Israel? Well, as they came out of the land of Egypt, as they came to Mount Sinai, what did they do? Well, they set up the golden calf. They set up the golden calf. And in fact, if we go, let's go to Exodus chapter 32. All right, and notice what they did here. Verse 3, and all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. When Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a what? A feast to the who? To the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. So here we find the idolatry. So they sat down to what? To eat and to drink and rose up to play. So here's what, this is the passage the New Testament here is referring to. All right, they were ascribing, they were breaking the Ten Commandments, making an image, and ascribing devotion to a wrong object. It says, neither be idolaters as were some of them. All right, and notice what do you find associated with this idolatry? Well, the wrong kind of music. You know, you think in the book of Daniel, you know, what was another thing that they had before everyone was supposed to bow down and worship the idol? Well, they had music playing. And you think of much of worship today across the board. Many times, what is the one of the key components of worship? Well, music. You know, no matter what church you go to, just maybe not every single church, but most churches have what as a part of their service? Well, music. All right, we need to be so careful about the music that we allow into our worship. You think of the tribal religions of Africa. What do they have as part of their worship? Well, music. All right, and so he says the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. You know, I wonder what type of music was in the heathen temples that they were in the city of Corinth. He says, watch out for the wrong devotion in your life. Don't be idolaters. You know, you think of the churches today and their music, what is their music doing? Well, who is their music lifting up? Well, their music is lifting up man rather than lifting up the God of heaven. You know, we need to be so careful of idolatry. Who are we really giving our devotion to? Is it truly to the God of heaven? So he says, watch out for devotion. Notice what he says next. Well, we looked at, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. All right, so if you read Numbers, there was 24, but we find here in one day there were 23,000 that died. So there's a total of 24, but in one day there was 23,000 people that died because of the sin that was committed. And he's saying, watch out. You know, don't get your place in a situation that could encourage you to commit one of these sins of the flesh that's going to ruin your Christian life. Now, you might think that you're going along, that you're spiritually strong, that you can handle this. But he says, flee. You know, don't commit fornication. Then he says, verse number 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Now, when did they tempt Christ? And here I have, watch out for discouragement. If we go to Numbers chapter 21, Numbers chapter 21, the way had become hard for the children of Israel. The way had become hard. It says, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. All right, so the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way, the hardship that they were going through because of the journey that they were on. And it says, and the people spake against God and against Moses. Now here in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul, the Word of God calls it, they were tempting the Lord. All right, they were tempting Christ. It says, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. So this discouragement, what did this discouragement in their lives lead to? Well, their discouragement led to doubt. And you know, we need to be careful of discouragement in our lives. You know, because Satan is going to use that discouragement, and it is going to lead to us doubting God. You know, it could be any number of areas that we could get discouraged in. You know, maybe it's you have an unsaved spouse. And you're thinking, boy, is he ever going to get saved? Can God? And you begin to doubt God's ability and power to save that spouse. Or maybe it's, you know, in your soul winning. And you're thinking, boy, does this really work? You know, or maybe it's some type of a physical issue that you are facing in your life. And you're discouraged. Maybe it's some issue at work that you're facing. And what is Satan seeking to do through that discouragement? Well, he is seeking to make us doubt the Lord and his ability to work. And then what's the problem? Well, we do what? We begin to tempt the Lord. And just like Satan sought to get Christ to fall to temptation, he said, jump off the building. And he said, jump. And watch the angels rescue you. You know, but what was he doing? Well, he was putting himself outside of God's will and expecting God to rescue him in that situation. You know, we need to be very careful that we do not put ourselves outside of God's will and then tempt God, so to speak, to rescue us from the situation that we got ourselves into. So it says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and what was the result? And were destroyed of serpents. You know, the people were discouraged. The way had become hard. And they began to doubt. And they began to tempt the Lord. You know, can you really provide? You know, why did God bring us out of this land? You know, we need to be careful sometimes of the questions that we ask. Are these questions, you know, promoting doubt in our lives? The Bible says, watch out for discouragement. Watch out that we are not tempting the Lord. Then notice verse number 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, numbers of times in the Old Testament, we find the children of Israel murmuring. You know, but one particular instance, we have the sons of Korah. You know, and we have Korah coming to, over in Numbers chapter 16, Korah coming to Moses, you know, and saying, are you the only one that God is, that God can work through? You know, what about us? And Numbers chapter 16, And they rose, it was Korah, I should say, not the sons of Korah, but Korah and the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath. All right, verse 2, they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And we find here they murmured against Moses. We know the end result. Here, this is the situation where Korah was swallowed up by the ground. You know, when we begin to murmur and we begin to develop that spirit of unthankfulness in our lives, we are in a dangerous situation. And we need to watch out. You know, we need to watch out for discontentment in our lives. You know, people become, you know, discontent with a preacher, or people become discontent with somebody at work. Or people become, you know, discontent maybe with, you know, young people, with their food. Or discontent with their parents. And what does Satan do? Well, he uses that to bring murmuring in their lives. And ultimately, who are they throwing that discontentment at? Well, it's at the Lord. We need to watch out. We are opening ourselves up for destruction. And if we're going to be spiritually safe, divine warnings must be heeded. Now, here is the church. Why is the church being at Corinth being addressed with these warnings? Well, it's because they needed them. And this evening, we need to understand that we need them as well. It says, now all these things, so they murmured, yes, some of them also murmured. What was the result? Well, God's judgment. All right, and we're destroyed. All right, now all these things happen unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. All right, so the end of the age is coming us. You know, there is only so much time, in a sense, to learn from these examples that have been given. You know, the children of Israel maybe didn't have the same examples in front of them as we have before us. And he says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. You know, a feeling of safety does not guarantee a place of safety. You know, one of the great problems we have today in Christianity is that people think they're okay. You know, they have a feeling of safety. They think that they're okay spiritually. And yet they have not seen the warning signs in their lives. And they've allowed some of these things to come into their lives. Tempting Christ, murmuring, discouragement, idolatry, the wrong devotion to the wrong things. And they think that they're standing. The Apostle Paul says, you better watch out. Because a...